Welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Sunday services. We are affectionately known as WOOF. And I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my great privilege to serve this justice-seeking congregation as minister. Whoever you are, however you are, whoever you love, you are welcome here with us. However you are feeling in this most surreal election season, you are welcome here. No matter the ways that you are coping with these challenging times, you are welcome with us today. This morning, we are participating in a special service created by the Unitarian Universal Association's UU the Vote program. And we have been participating in UU the Vote in our own ways. We wrote 2,700 postcards to voters telling them how to vote and make sure that their registration wasn't purged from the polls. We wrote to the Board of Governors of the U.S. Post Office asking them to make sure the mail would work during this important election. And we have started calling voters, making sure that they're registered in the last moments in their state and making sure that they know how to vote safely. The National UU the Vote campaign has mobilized hundreds of congregations and contacted nearly a million voters in order to ensure that people can vote safely. The UU the Vote program has partnered with local organizations in swing states whose priority is democracy and voting. This service that we're about to see reminds us that as Unitarian Universalists, we are committed to side with love. When the world is challenging or our lives are hard, we are asked by our faith to reach out with kindness, compassion, and fairness, both for ourselves and for other people, and for justice. We all need that message now, as the situation in our country gets more polarized and more unpredictable. What can we do? So many of us ask ourselves. What can we do? We can steadily, with commitment and determination, do what we can to make sure that people who want to vote can vote and vote safely and that their votes get counted. I phone banked with UU the Vote on Wednesday evening. We called potential voters from mostly marginalized communities in Wisconsin. And it was pretty simple and easy to navigate with lots of support. In less than two hours, the assembled team dialed over 9,000 people and spoke to many, helping them know how to register and where to drop their ballots. And I'm going to do this again. It felt useful. My drop in a rising stream of people committed to making sure that people can vote during a time of significant voter suppression. If you are visiting WOOF this morning for the first time or a second time and would just like more information about our community, please write our administrator. Her address is on the front of the screen and also on our website. And you can get on our email list and get links to our coffee hour. Everyone else, please read your announcement. It has so many ideas about how you can be engaged in our community just now. Chalice circles are closing today. Really, take some time and register to be in a small group where you can talk about what matters most in lives. We have other regularly meeting groups, and I encourage every person to join one. We really need to be with each other, even if that's virtually, during these times that we cannot gather. That email that you got this morning also has a link to Coffee Hour, which is held at 11:30 on Sundays. We do joys and sorrows in Coffee Hour. We talk about the service and do deeper check-ins, and it's a really great way to see old friends and meet people you've never met before. I will be there, and I look forward to seeing you there. we will now light our chalice. If there was ever a time for a candle in the darkness, this would be it. Using a spark of hope, kindle the flame of love, ignite the light of peace, and feed the flame of justice. Please join us in our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
All right, everyone. So gather together because we are going to talk about somebody amazing. Frances Ellen Watkins Harper was born and raised into a free Black family in 1825. Her family lived in Maryland where slavery was still legal. Being born free in a land where people who looked like you were enslaved was something that inspired both Frances and her family to become abolitionists.
When she was very young, both of her parents died. She went to live with her aunt and uncle. Theirs was an abolitionist household. They worked to end slavery. And they also ran a school where Black children, including Frances, received an education.
While still a young teen, she went to work as a housekeeper and seamstress in the household of a Baltimore bookstore owner. Her employers encouraged the inquisitive Frances to use their big library. She devoured books and began to write poetry and essays which appeared in the newspaper. By the time she was 20 years old, her writings were published in her first book, Forest Leaves.
In 1850, Congress passed a law that allowed slave catchers to kidnap, enslave, and sell free Black people in states where slavery was legal. Her aunt and uncle fled from Maryland to Canada. Frances fled to Ohio, which did not allow slavery, and then 2 years later to Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, she became involved in the Underground Railroad, a movement that helped people escaping from slavery. Throughout this all, Frances continued to write and to publish books of poetry, much of it against slavery.
In time, Frances became the first Black woman to earn a living through the use of her words, living modestly and donating much of her income to helping her uncle's work with the Underground Railroad. In 1854, the Maine Anti-Slavery Society hired her to travel all over the Northeast to make anti-slavery speeches. She became one of the most famous speakers and authors of her time.
All kinds of people came to hear her speak, but she made a point of not charging Black people admission. Frances was progressive throughout her life. While she wrote and spoke against slavery, she also took other kinds of actions. She refused to wear or eat goods that were farmed by enslaved workers, including cotton and sugar. She wouldn't wear clothes made of cotton or eat food that contained sugar.
In 1860, the year that the Civil War began, Frances Watkins married Benton Harper, who already had three children. The two had a daughter together, and Frances took time off from her writing and speaking to tend to her blended family. Unfortunately, just a few short years later, her husband died, leaving her as a young widow responsible for many unpaid bills. Frances Watkins Harper made the difficult decision to send her children to live with relatives and go back on speaking tours in order to make money and provide for her family.
By then, slavery had ended, and she spoke for women's rights and for legal and civil rights for Black people. She wrote poems and essays about the experiences of new freed slaves struggling to make their way despite the damage done to Black people by slavery. In 1870, she joined the Unitarian Church of Philadelphia. There, she found a community where white and Black people came together and where many shared her passion for justice.
In many ways, Frances Harper was at home in two different worlds. Although she was used to working with white people, she also kept her connection to the black community in Philadelphia. She maintained her membership in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, where she taught Sunday school. She wrote three novels specifically for black people, highlighting family connections and choices about racial identity. She pushed for education and voting rights for black people, and she encouraged black children to learn and grow, just as she had been encouraged as a child.
During her long life, as you have heard, Frances Ellen Watkins Harper offered her voice, her words, her money, her labor, and most importantly, her love to the work of justice making for her people. She used her voice and her privilege as an educated black, free black woman to raise awareness of the plight of black people in the United States after the Civil War. We honor her memory and her place among our Unitarian Universalist ancestors.
May I be light in you. May you be light in me, into our hearts, into our souls, let love abide. May I be love in you, may you be love in me. From this place out to the world for all time. Spirit of life, sources of all that ever was and can be, we are guided by all that is sacred within our own hearts and minds to pray this prayer and to live this prayer. We offer up this simple and profound hope that we may be light, give light, and receive light in all the places we call home and in this sacred space that reaches across miles and experiences. That we may be love, give love, and receive love out in the world. May we never forget the impact and power of our voices. May we never lose sight of the songs in our hearts. Dee Blanchard reminds us that they can be heard as songs of love or of longing, songs of encouragement, or of comfort, songs of struggle or of security and care. But most of all, they are the songs of life, giving testimony to what has been, giving praise for all we're given, giving hope for all we strive for, and giving voice to the great mystery that carries each of us in and out of this world. Today, we hear those songs in all the ways we are learning and growing as communities of faith, hope, and love. We hear them as little ones become young ones. We hear them as loved ones pass from this life and into the unknown. And we hear them in the streets and at our polling places, as people of faith and conscience pave the way for a better world, a better understanding, deeper care and accountability. And we hear them in the silences, a deep awareness that there are those among us as yet unheard and unaccounted for. May we never, ever forget the impact and the power of our voices. may we never, ever lose sight of the songs in our hearts. May grace and mercy follow us wherever we may go, whatever we meet, we feel called to and toward in the days and weeks ahead. Amen. Ashe. And blessed be.
I was 13 years old when I became a Unitarian Universalist. I was raised in this faith, but I was 13 when I claimed it as my own. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I was waiting for my parents to finish their committee meetings after service. All the other kids had left, and I was bored. I wandered into the visitor's corner, and a little red wallet card caught my eye. It said in bold letters on the front, "What do Unitarian Universalists believe?" My 13-year-old self wondered, "What do Unitarian Universalists believe?" As I read the 10 statements written by the Reverend David O. Rankin, in my heart, in my soul, as I read those words, I said, yes, this is what I believe. One phrase in particular planted itself in me like the deepest truth, and I never forgot it. We believe in the motive force of love. It was in that moment when I knew that this was my religion. I start with this story to ground the work of UU The Vote in our theology, which is its foundation and its inspiration. This year marks the 250th anniversary of what we celebrate as the beginning of Universalism in the United States. It was on September 30th, 1770, that Universalist John Murray preached his first sermon on this continent. And the truth that I read in that little red wallet card, the truth I've never forgotten, is the message of Universalism. 250 years ago, in the context of religious notions of God rooted in punishment, damnation, and the division of humanity between worthy and unworthy, saved and damned, the idea of universal salvation, that God's love is unconditional, that no one is cast out, and that salvation is not individual but collective, was radical and liberating. Universalism proclaimed that humanity was bound together in a common destiny, and that love is the thread that binds each of us to the other and everyone to creation. Universalists believed that God is love. They also believed in hell. They just believed that it existed here and now on the earth. The great Universalist preacher Hosea Ballou was clear about how politicians and those in power used fear, stoked fear, to protect their greed and corruption and self-interest, and he knew the suffering that resulted from that. Rather than speak of theology in terms of speculative notions of God, Ballou spoke of it in terms of human experience here and now and our relationships to each other. A society that lives out the motive force of love would be one that fosters joy and liberation and thriving for all people. This is the highest calling of our faith as Unitarian Universalists, to live out, defend, and embrace this motive force of love in our lives, in our actions, in our commitments, and in our society. This is why UU The Vote says vote love. Today, in our context, we are witnessing the emboldening and authorization of ideologies rooted not in love and interdependence, but in domination, authoritarianism, and dehumanization. And just to be clear, this is not new. It has a long and deadly history on this continent, going back more than 400 years. And yes, even our Universalist ancestors came from that same lineage of Christian European conquest and limited the vision of Universalism only to white society, a limit that we are still trying to redeem ourselves from. It is dehumanization that creates systems that put children in cages, that deny health care to our transgender siblings, that allow police violence and the murder of Black people to continue unabated and without accountability. Dehumanization that allows triage protocols that devalue the lives of disabled people and that lead to systemic divestment from communities, the resources from housing to education, healthcare to jobs, and the criminalization of poverty. Just as Hosea Ballou named it, the tool of dehumanization, its propaganda, is fear. Propaganda that tells us to fear our neighbor, that we are not family and kin, but enemies. This is the exact opposite of our theology of universalism that tells us that we have a common destiny and we are connected to one another in love. This is why UU The Vote says vote love, defeat hate. And while the forces of dehumanization and domination have always been a part of U.S. history, so too have been those who have resisted and organized for the values of dignity, equity, humanity, and love. These days are heartbreaking, they're infuriating, and they're frightening. On days when I lose my own strength, I turn to the words of Alice Walker, who reminds us, we remember our ancestors because it is an easy thing to forget that we are not the first to suffer, rebel, fight, love, and die. The grace with which we embrace life in spite of the pain and the sorrow is always a measure of what has gone before us. We remember our ancestors, theological, familial, and in movement. We remember Francis, Ellen Watkins, Harper, Hosea Ballou, John Brown, Sitting Bull, Ida B. Wells, Dr. King, Anne Braden, and so many more whose names history does not remember. Those who struggled and risked and fought and loved for the principles of justice, equity, liberty. This is why in UU The Vote, we say vote love, we say defeat hate, because dear ones, we are on a precipice. Every single one of our most deeply held values is on the line right now. The current powers in government are showing in everything they do that the inherent worth and dignity of so many immigrants, Black people, disabled folks, trans and queer people does not matter to them. Human agency, interdependence, the democratic process are being disrupted and defiled daily. It is a radical act of faith to not only continue to believe in all of our cherished principles, but to demand them by speaking out, taking risks, organizing, leveraging our resources, and building networks of solidarity and power to protect one another and these values. We are on a precipice, and our actions right now will affect whether we have a chance to continue to bring our bold values forward, to rebuild, expand, and strengthen our democracy, to confront police violence, to upend racial inequity, to change divestment from communities and make moves to protect the climate. Now is the time to draw on the grace, the courage, and the strength of all those who went before, to widen our comfort zones and to do all we can to vote love and defeat hate. If you haven't taken any form of action yet, sign up for a shift with UU The Vote. I can tell you that it's fun. And if you've written postcards to voters, but you feel nervous about phone banking, do it with your fellow UUs. And if you've been all in with UU The Vote from the beginning, keep it up and start planning for how you will show up and organize after November 3rd. Because democracy will not be restored in one election. It's been under systemic attack for decades. And justice will not roll down like waters in one election. Voting matters. It's absolutely critical, but it is not the end. It is just one piece of the long haul work of organizing for a future where all are free and where all can thrive. Will you show up in the streets, set up to contribute to a bail or legal assistance fund, open your church building to protesters needing refuge from state repression, tap into your own endowment or discretionary funds to make sure that grassroots organizers have the funds they need for their work? There is so much to do. And our faith calls us to love more radically, to give more generously, to believe more fervently that another world is possible and be willing to be all in for that future. As you've heard me say many times before, this is no time for a casual faith, no time for a casual commitment to what you hold most dear. And this is no time to go it alone. Friends, we are in this work together. I invite you to be deeper in this work of UU the Vote with us. May we remember that we are held by love always. May we remember that we are held by and with one another. And may we all together be all in today, tomorrow, next month, and next year, for justice, for love, for democracy, and for a future that is free and thriving for all people. May it be so.
Hi, I'm Nicole Presley, national organizer of UU the Vote, and I'm so honored to be a part of UU the Vote and a part of this special worship service. By this time, you've probably gotten used to virtual worship. You've made sure your computer is charged, you've searched your email for Zoom links, or you've scrolled through your social media feed for the live stream. But from whatever platform you're entering worship today, you are in sacred space. Getting here was not easy. Remember the spring? Remember many of us had to learn new skills and to stretch ourselves and maybe our internet speed to continue to gather with our beloved faith community. We learned Zoom, we downloaded apps, and we reached out for help to be with one another. Transformation is always a stretch, and we need to bring that same energy to this year's election. In the past few months, I have witnessed amazing things from all of you. We created a goal to reach out to 1 million voters, and we are almost there. We stretched ourselves. We stretched ourselves to get on another Zoom call, to learn to text voters, phone bank, and send postcards. We learned how to be vulnerable and have critical conversations with members of our communities. UUs, we are not just a faith community that believes another world is possible, but we are a community that is willing to act to make that world a reality. We have a legacy of showing up. And we know that our victories are never guaranteed, and we know that those victories are never won by those in power ceding it willingly. The people imagined it. The people demanded it, and we, the people, gathered to make it so. In all of our movements, the stakes were high. But instead of mobilizing out of the fear of defeat, we have organized out of a sacred calling to build a world that we know is possible. That is why nonpartisan work is not just important, but is absolutely revolutionary. We come together to learn, to create, and to put into practice ways of being towards our collective liberation. That is our victory. And as the chant goes, I believe that we will win. I believe that together, through sacred and sustained work, now and beyond November, we can call forth a world that moves towards our collective liberation. But we must all show up to vote love in 2020. That means showing up to the work that is needed, not just the work that is comfortable. That means showing up in service and in solidarity to combat a simple campaign of voter suppression and intimidation. That means recognizing that white supremacy and capitalism are the technologies through which political agency and democracy are stripped from marginalized communities. So when I say vote love, I don't just mean voting our values, although I absolutely want you to do that if you are able. I don't just mean showing up to voter contact work, even though I absolutely want everyone to join into this work. I mean centering the oppressed, working to free them all, to defend Black lives, to fight for climate justice and health care for all, for reproductive justice, and for safe and thriving schools and communities. I mean continuing whatever work is necessary to make sure every ballot is counted and that the results and will of the people are respected. We have important choices to make in 2020, but if we are to really vote love and defeat hate in 2020, we must also commit to continue to side with love every single day after November 3rd and into 2021. If you are in it for the long haul, if you believe that another world is possible because you are gathered in a community that puts faith into action, if you are ready to stretch beyond November 3rd to protect democracy, join us. Take the Vote Love Pledge to join a team that is organizing to take action in this election and ready to mobilize after November 3rd for the work ahead. Join me. Take your phone out. Text Pledge Love to 51555 to take the pledge today, or go online at uuthevote.org. We need everyone in this work. Thank you for finding your role in this work. Thank you for doing it with joy and hopefulness. And thank you for joining UU The Vote. Let's make sure love always wins.
On Wednesday evening, I participated in a UU The Vote sponsored phone bank, making calls to give voting information to Black and Latino voters in northern Wisconsin. Reverend Tracy also participated, as she mentioned earlier. So how did it go? Well, first, it was pretty cool to participate with 120 plus other UUs in the attendee list from all over the country, plus the partner organization that UU The Vote chose, Wisconsin Voices, seemed to be really a perfect choice. I found that doing social justice with local allies and with people with whom you share values makes for work that you feel good about even before you start. The training in using the system was done in a larger group first, then in small breakout sessions. In each breakout group, there were real people to help with specific issues, and you could also stay logged in to that room and come back to those helpers if you encounter problems. That's really an important difference that I've seen from other phone banks that I've recently experienced. And no surprise, there were technical problems. Personally, I had a lot of trouble signing on. I admit I have a really low tolerance for technical issues and technical problems, and this was not an enjoyable part of the journey for me. But turns out that once I switched from using Safari to Firefox, things went much more smoothly, but it did take time from getting on to making calls. The autodialer that the system used is great in that you don't have to do the dialing, and you get notified only if a person answers the phone. Your cell phone number does not appear to the person that you're calling. The script is clear. It focuses on getting information on voting to the person, especially information on early voting to them. As Tracy mentioned, during the 2 hours, the group made 9,000 calls. Tracy and I were both slowed by technical problems and can't report, groundbreaking personal connections. Though many of the volunteers did report very, very fruitful conversations and connections that they had. So for me, despite some frustrations, I feel very good in participating in this. Especially given the threats to democracy I heard this week, I feel I did something positive. And I'm doing it again. There are two more opportunities for you to join me in making these calls in Wisconsin on October 7 and October 21st. So you can sign up at uuthevote.org/phone. I'll say that again, uuthevote.org/phone. Simple, huh? Then you will get confirmation and links to join after you do that. It's easy. This sign-up information will also be in the e-blast tomorrow. But call or email me if you are even considering doing this and want to talk. I hope you will join. I hope some of you will join me, but now here's some actions that we all can do closer to home. So the deadline for registering to vote in Oregon is October 13. Ballots arrive in your mail at your door October 14. And please mail your ballot as soon as you can after receiving it. Then secondly, your Wolf UU the Vote team is researching the most secure drop boxes and will communicate that to you as we learn about that information. Finally, if you need assistance in using a Dropbox, you can contact Linda Smith, and she will arrange assistance for doing so. More on that in the coming weeks. It's been a tough week. Individually, as members of our WIF community, as Americans. But, you know, I think we can be proud that we are part of a faith that values the democratic process and one that takes actions to defend it.
As we extinguish the chalice flame which has danced through our time together, we commit ourselves again to keep the flame of justice burning bright, especially in those times and places where justice is denied, with those people whose humanity is denied. And never will we extinguish the flame that burns in our communities, the flame of love, the flame that burns in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our bodies, the flame that burns in our care for one another in our communities.
Friends, I offer you these words from the Reverend Darcy Roque. There is too much hardship in this world to not find joy every day. There is too much injustice in this world to not right the balance every day. There is too much pain in this world to not heal every day. Each of us ministers to a weary world. Let us go forth now and do that which calls us to make this world more loving, more compassionate, and more filled with the grace of divine presence every day.
Every day.
Every day.